Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
So this morning I want to start with a little scripture. I want to start with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For those of you keeping track, that's the third time I've started with that same psalm this year. And I keep coming back to it, and I guess God's got me there for a reason, maybe, I don't know. But I think of the opening line of that psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's some powerful stuff, isn't it?
Amen. That's right.
Think about it. I don't lack anything. I don't lack anything. I have all that I need.
Amen.
And can I say that I don't want anything besides what the Lord has given me?
Yes.
That's not always easy to say, but it's true. David wrote this psalm, and he wrote it at a time when, at that moment at least, I don't know if every moment he thought this, but at that moment, he recognized that God was his provider. He recognized that God would give him his every need. He recognized that he would get everything that God had for him at exactly the time he needed it. Exactly the time. David knew where his help come from. The Lord took good care of David.
Amen.
The Lord took good care of Israel.
Amen.
All the time. Always. And they knew that God took good care of them. But, you know, sometimes maybe they forgot. And when I read Scripture, when I look at the life that Jesus led on this earth, how he interacted with his creation, it becomes clear to me that they didn't always remember that God took such good care of them. Here God was, wrapped in human flesh, standing right there. And in reading Scripture, you'll see that there were times when God's creation were actually disappointed in Jesus. That doesn't sound right to my ears. And it's a little hard to say. But there were times when they would look at Jesus with eyes of disappointment. It's right there in Scripture, okay? Time and again, the people that Jesus so loved would feel like he had let them down. I know. It doesn't seem possible, does it? To say, wow, you know, someone's looking at Jesus with disappointment in their eyes. The people that he came to save were disappointed in him. How could this be? How could this be? How could someone who was standing right before Jesus, and Jesus was right there to save them, be disappointed in him? It's really an easy question to answer. Jesus was a disappointment to people because he didn't give people what they wanted. He didn't give them what they wanted. He wasn't being the God that they wanted. He simply wasn't what they thought they were looking for. Yeah, there's a lot of examples, and I'll share a couple with you. Remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 men and women and children? Remember what took place shortly after that? We'll go to John chapter 6, starting at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, They asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because of the signs I performed, but because you ate loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." When they asked him, "What must we do to do the works of God?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one who he sent." That sounds simple, doesn't it? We overcomplicate it a little bit, don't we? So they asked him, "What sign will you give that you may that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness." Here we're talking about bread again, right? "As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who has given the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, always give us this bread." These people had just seen a true miracle. They just received it. They ate their fill from the sack lunch of one boy. They ate all they could eat, and they're full. Can you imagine eating something like this, that Jesus provided an unending meal? You could eat and eat and eat until you just couldn't eat no more. It's like going to the old buffet, isn't it? Difference is, I have to pay for the buffet. Unless I go with Bill Blaine, he'll pay. And now, after receiving this amazing miracle, they just wanted another meal. They just wanted to eat again. Maybe they thought, "Man, this is great. We'll follow this guy around everywhere he goes. We'll never have to work for our food again, and we'll always be full. We'll always be full. We can eat every day." They had Jesus standing right in front of them, and they wanted a fish sandwich. They just wanted to eat. And guess what? Jesus let them down. Jesus let them down. He didn't give them what they wanted. They cried out for a fish sandwich, and Jesus says, "No." But what he did offer was so much more. So much more. But he wasn't doing what they wanted him to do. But he was who they needed. He was who they needed. To these people, though, Jesus was a disappointment. If you read on in the 6th chapter of John, you'll see that a lot of these people just walked away from Jesus. He wasn't being the God that they wanted him to be. He wasn't who they wanted. He wasn't what they wanted. They were disappointed because they didn't understand what they had. They were disappointed because they didn't understand who they had right there in front of them. And yeah, there's other times when Jesus let people down. Kind of funny, I was saying something to Melissa because when Pastor Vicky was talking earlier, she talked about how we can disappoint God. I kind of flipped it around a little bit. But think about how Mary and Martha felt when they put their brother in the tomb. And right that moment, how did they feel? Lazarus was dead. Mary and Martha had sent for Jesus, and he didn't show up. John chapter 11, verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and she saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. My brother would not have died." Can you hear the pain in Mary's voice? She was in mourning. She had lost her brother. She was heartbroken, as she echoed what Martha said just a short time earlier. "If you'd only been here, Jesus." They knew that Jesus could have healed. They knew that Jesus could have healed Lazarus, and he wouldn't be in the tomb right now. Excuse me. They cried out to him, "Jesus, why didn't you come when we called you? Why were you not here when we needed you?" They'd been let down. They knew that Jesus could have healed their brother, but instead death came knocking at the door. Death came knocking at the door. Now instead of having their brother in their presence, they were mourning their loss because he was gone. They were disappointed in Jesus because he didn't do what they wanted him to do when they wanted him to do it. He wasn't being the God they wanted. They were disappointed because they didn't know what was coming next. See, we have a little bit of an advantage, right? We know the story. Y'all know the story of Lazarus, right? Okay, three of you do. That's good. Read chapter 11 in John, okay? You'll get it. But we know the story of Lazarus. We know how the story ends, but they were living it in that moment and they didn't understand. From their perspective, they couldn't see what was coming next. They couldn't see what was about to happen. All they knew was their brother was dead. And they were disappointed in Jesus. And if you think about it, when you read Scripture, you'll see a lot of places where people were disappointed in Jesus, right? How many times Jesus didn't do what they wanted him to do? The Jewish people thought that the Messiah was going to be a conquering warrior king. They were under Roman rule. And here was Jesus talking about turning the other cheek. Can you imagine that? We're under Roman rule and we need salvation from that. And he says, turn the other cheek. He talks about loving your enemy. Jesus, do you know what Rome's doing to us and you want us to love them? That's hard. Forgiveness. Jesus was teaching about forgiveness. Anybody here have trouble with forgiveness sometimes? Okay. Don't raise your hand. Okay. Yeah. You shouldn't have raised your hand back here. I'm sorry. At least you're not on camera. He's talking about caring for one another. Jesus is talking about caring for one another. And did you hear the scandal? Jesus even healed on the Sabbath. Oh my goodness, we can't have that now. Come on now, that's wrong. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Another time, Jesus went to the synagogue. A man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see what he would do, to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." He wasn't calling attention to himself now, was he? Then Jesus asked, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? To save a life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Ooh. No stubborn hearts in here, I'm sure. I'm not going to look and see if there's any hands. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and the hand was completely restored. And instead of celebrating, the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians on how they might kill Jesus. They were disappointed in him. You can't heal on the Sabbath. That's work. Jesus wasn't the God they wanted, but he was the God they needed. He was the God they needed. Think about how disappointed the disciples must have felt when they saw Jesus up on that cruel Roman cross. Man, is this how the story ends? Our rabbi is dying before our eyes? Is this it? See, they didn't know what was coming next. They couldn't see it. Yeah, I know. Jesus had told them, "I'm going to die, but in 3 days later I'll come back." Okay? But think about this. That don't make sense, right? If someone came up to you and said, "Hey, I'm going to die tomorrow, but I'll see you in 4 days, or 3 days, or 2 days," you'd think they're nuts. Just saying. They didn't understand it. You know, once again, we know. From our perspective, we know. But they were living it in that moment, and they were disappointed because this wasn't happening the way they thought it should happen. This wasn't happening. This wasn't playing out the way they thought it should. Their beloved Jesus was dying on that cross. There was nothing they could do about it. They couldn't go attack the Romans and get them down off that cross. They wouldn't have stood a chance. They felt like they were being let down. So many times throughout the Bible, we can read about people who were disappointed by Jesus. He let them down. He let them down because he didn't do what they wanted them to, or wanted him to do. You know, Jesus is not that genie in the bottle. You don't rub the bottle and get the genie and get three wishes and automatically he's going to do whatever you want.
Right.
And it's just amazing to me to think that people can look at Jesus with disappointment in their eyes. I mean, we could never do that. We could never do that, right? Oh. Mm. Bill, I see you grinning. You've been there. Well, let me ask. Have you ever been disappointed in Jesus? Have you ever prayed and didn't get the answer you wanted and it made you mad? I've been there. Or maybe you didn't get an answer at all. Maybe you've prayed for direction. Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I do this? Should I do that? And you get back silence. Don't you get disappointed by that? Or maybe you've asked for something in prayer and God said no. I've been there. You know, sometimes he has to say no. God is a good father, right?
Amen.
And a good parent knows they have to tell their children no sometimes.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll get that kid at the store, you know, every time they go there, they start kicking and screaming and yelling because they want the new toy. And the parent gives it to them. Well, that don't help, right? Sometimes that parent has to say no. Grandparents, you're allowed to say yes every time. Spoil the kid. It's not your kid, right? They got to go home. But sometimes God has to say no to us. Otherwise, I'd be just like that kid, kicking and screaming every time he tried to not let me have my way. And sometimes when he says no, it's absolutely for our best. Sometimes we're asking for something that we shouldn't be asking for. He sees things from a different perspective than we have. Or maybe you've just been living in the pit for a long, long time and you're trying to get up on that mountain, but you've been praying and praying and praying, but you just haven't been able to make it yet. Or maybe God, through prayer, has told you to forgive someone, and it's like you just don't want to. You just don't want to. Or maybe you've witnessed a healing in someone's life, but you have a loved one who still hasn't been healed. They still haven't been healed, and it's heartbreaking. Because you know God can, and you don't understand why he doesn't. We want him to answer our prayers in the positive, right? That's what we want. When we pray and we ask for something, we want him to answer the prayer in the positive. And sometimes when it's in the negative, that's hard. We want the God that we want, but we have the God who is. But see, the problem doesn't lie with Jesus. We're not disappointed in Jesus because of who Jesus is. We're disappointed in Jesus because of who we want him to be. The problem lies with us. We have a mighty and awesome, amazing God.
Amen.
And when he doesn't give us our way, sometimes we forget that. We want God to do our will when we should be submitting to his will. We pray for our will to be done. I've been there, done that, okay? I'm not just hollering at you. I'm talking to me too. There have been things that I've wanted and prayed for and But it's hard when we want him to submit to our will, instead of submitting to his, you know, that's not what Christians say, is it? That's not how we talk. That's not how we think. But sometimes Sometimes the circumstances of life can get the better of us, and we can feel like God has let us down. We can feel like that. Maybe that's where you are right now. But again, the problem is not with God, it's with us. We can't see what He's doing. We can't see from His eyes. If we could, it'd be a lot easier to understand what we're going through, I think. We don't know the next steps God is taking. Just like Mary and Martha, when they laid their brother in the tomb, they didn't know what was next. They didn't understand it. They didn't see it like we do. And maybe someone reading the story of your life right now, 100, 200 years from now, they'll be like, oh yeah, you see where God was working? And we can't see it. Right where we're at, we just can't see it. We don't always get that God will provide everything we need exactly when we need it. That's the God we serve. Amen. He doesn't give us everything we want exactly when we want it. Anybody want an ice cream right now? Do you need an ice cream right now? Don't answer that, Edna.
I knew he's going to say that.
But His ways are higher than ours. He understands what you need. He understands what I need. He hears what we want. But sometimes He's got to say no. We don't always know the good that He's doing while He's doing it. But He's always working for our good.
Amen.
He's always working for our good, even when it doesn't feel like it. Even when it feels like a disappointment. Even when it feels like He's letting us down. He's not. He's not. I just got to get that through my head sometimes. Some days more than others. God will meet your needs.
Amen.
God will meet your needs. God is our provider. You ever heard the term Jehovah Jireh? As God is our provider. And maybe He'll take you to a place where everything you have, you recognize that's all you need. That's all you need. I don't need anything else. It may take you a lifetime to reach that point. It may not come quick. Don't ask for it today, because it may not be today. Maybe you won't even see that in this lifetime. Maybe you'll have to graduate before you see that. But it's coming. God is all we truly need.
Yes.
He gives us everything we need. But press on. Press on. God is working for your good. He will bring you up out of that pit.
Amen.
He will. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not want.
Yes.
The Lord is your shepherd. And you shall not want. Just remember, God's there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always working for your good. Always. Even when it don't feel like it. And I know we all go through times when it don't feel like it. We all go through those times. But God loves us. God loves us. God has time for your concerns. God has time for you individually and as a church.
Amen.
He's right here working for our good. And you know, when we feel disappointed in God, He knows that we feel that, right? Talk to Him about it. Say, Lord, why is this going on and on and on? Why does this continue? Why are You allowing this? Talk to Him about it. Maybe He won't tell you. Maybe because we can't understand. We have finite minds. We just can't grasp everything He does. We just can't. It's not possible. But God loves you.
Yes.
Each and individual one in this room, God loves you.
Amen.
And when we feel disappointed in Him, just remember, it's just because we don't understand what He's doing. I know it's hard to understand, to remember that when you're going through it. But when you come through it, when you're on the other side of it, you can look back and say, yeah, maybe I get that now. So I want to pray with you all. I want to close in prayer. And as Pastor Vicki said earlier, our altars are always open. If you need to talk to God about something you feel like he's let you down in, then feel free to come forward. Father God, Lord, we come to you right now, Lord. We're so grateful and honored to be able to come into your house, Lord. We've never been worthy of approaching the throne, but Lord, you say to approach that throne boldly. Father, we just ask you to understand, Lord, when we're feeling disappointed or when we're feeling let down by you, Lord. Because we know it's not that you're doing anything wrong, just we're looking at it wrong. We don't grasp what's going on. We don't understand the good that's happening all around us. And as we're going through trials and tribulations, we may not be able to understand the healing that's taking place at that moment. But Lord, you're always there. You're always working for our good, Lord. Just continue to remind us of that, Lord. And be patient with us as we know you are. Father God, you are our shepherd. You are our provider. You are the one who can make us say, I shall not want. Lord, this day above all, may your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.